Amen. Good morning. What a blessing to be together. This song service wasn't unlike most song services are here, but it blessed me tremendously. Just one song after another. If I could just open up the song book and just read off some of those songs, and it's what I want to talk about. The first song we sang, the first line said, the end of the first verse, it said, "The Master is here," and we believe He is. And if that shouldn't cause us to be in reverence and awe, to think that the God that created the world and created us and sustains everything by His word, by His power, that He is here in our midst. Another song, number 812, said, "He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be." Isn't that our heart's cry this morning? Today, I would like to, and this is easy to say, but in my heart and in your heart, I would like to lift up Jesus Christ, the one who saved us, who redeemed us, and who holds us, and who is our interceder, who's interceding on our behalf. In John 12:32, it says, "And I," Jesus said, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He said that signifying His death, but it's also real. When He is lifted up from the earth, He will draw all men unto Him. John 3, we know John 3, John 3:16, we can all quote that by heart, but right before He said that, He said, "And," as in verse 14, "as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so, in the same way that men had to look when they were bitten by the serpent, when they were bitten by that fiery serpent, sin, that they had to look to that serpent on the cross, in the same way we need to look up to our Lord Jesus Christ in a repentant heart. And what a blessing that we can be healed and cleansed. So this morning, my thoughts are really scattered, and I apologize for that. I didn't have a whole lot of time. I had a lot of thoughts already when I got the call Friday evening about 5:30 about sharing an opening, and for most men it wouldn't be that hard, but for me it's really hard to get my thoughts in order. I have too many of them that are not sorted out, and so I realized after I got here this morning that the order that I have the stuff down is some of this just isn't right, but. So bear with me, and we'll trust and have faith that God will be honored and gloried, and His kingdom strengthened and furthered. My burden comes from Ephesians 3. So if you want to turn there, we'll spend some time in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to the end of the chapter, verses 14 to 21. And I was meditating on that Tuesday morning. We sang number 382, and the children know at home that I try not to make a pest out of myself. Sometimes when all at once I get a favorite song and I pick it every time we sing here at church or at home. But one of the children picked this Tuesday morning, and I could not get this song out of my mind the rest of the week. It passeth knowledge. And there's a few phrases in there that stood out to me, and those phrases are in verse 1 and 5. The whole song just feeds my soul in a tremendous way, but verse 1 and verse 5 both have the phrase in there that "Thy love in all its breadth and length, its height and depth, its everlasting strength, know more and more." And at the end, the last verse says, "My soul shall sing." And those words come from Ephesians 3, verse 18 there. And so I'm going to read from 14 to 21. We'll read that. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And that might, by the way, is dunamis. It's the same word as dynamite, and the same effect, you might say. That we might be strengthened with dynamite by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So that's how he dwells in our hearts. It's not by some superficial, magical thing. It's by faith. It's real. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So just a few reflections on and here again, I'm not going to take these verses in order because that's not how my mind is working here, but when we think of the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ, and we can use that in many different ways, but we think of the breadth, it reaches out to the whole world, the whole wide world. There's no one excluded. There's no vastness out there that it doesn't reach. And its length, it continues to the end of our life, to the end of every person's life. It doesn't stop short at a certain point. But as his love is there, as long as we live, its length and its depth, it reaches as deep as it needs to go, to the depths of discouragement or despair or death. The love of Christ is still there. It reaches as deep as it needs to go. And its height, it reaches to the height of our... This morning, I could feel his love as my elation just soared as we were worshiping here. His love, it knows no end, but our humans put a limitation to it, but in Christ there is no limits. In verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your heart. See, as I was thinking about this love, all at once I knew that it's not some wishy-washy, fishy thing. It's a love that is put there by what? By faith. It says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, and that goes on from there, rooted and grounded in love. But so faith begets love. It's kind of... That's my wording. It's not from the Bible. Faith begets love. We can have fleshly carnal love without any faith. But in order to have any godly love, it takes faith. Faith in what? In Hebrews 12:2. I was going to quote that, now I know I'm already going to mix it up here if I try it without the... Hebrews 12:2 says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm not going to read the rest of the verse, but that's where faith is rooted and grounded in. It's not... And as it says at the beginning of Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible... that's not what I wanted. I'm sorry. I wanted Hebrews 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith has a substance. So what substance is it? The substance, according to Hebrews 12:2, is the substance is Jesus Christ. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And as I was thinking of that, I thought, what authored my faith? Who was the author of my faith? What authored it? And my thoughts are still cluttered here. I'm going to go back and I'll share just a bit of my testimony to here. Years ago, I was seeking to do right. I was in sin. I was in the horrible pit of sin. And I didn't want to be. I wanted to live a righteous life, but I didn't have power. I didn't have that inner strength that we read about here in Ephesians 4. That to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I didn't have that. It was void in here. No might. But we grew up, and a lot of you know that, but we grew up praying out of a prayer book, okay? And my dad would pray a prayer in the Christian Flift, it was called, on page 138. And he would pray that every so often, and that prayer blessed me when I was at home. And so after I got married and I started having a family, I started using that prayer also. In the German, it's called Gebet um Erhaltung im christlichen Leben und christlichen Tugend bis zum seligen Ende. Now, for those of you who don't understand that, it's a prayer to keep us in a christlichen Leben, in living Christ-like and Tugenden. I'm not sure how to explain that. It's good things until our death. But in the English, it's called A Prayer for Christian Virtues is all it's called, okay? But I would pray that, and I started using that. And there's another prayer that it's for. The other prayer was called A Prayer of Parents for Their Children. And I started getting a burden for my children as I just had a few children. And so at least every weekend, I would pray at least one of those prayers as an extra prayer besides our usual morning prayer. I would pray either the one for the children or the one or that one. And I'm saying all this to say that in that prayer, there's a lot of that prayer comes right out of Ephesians 4. Well, three or four paragraphs come right out of Ephesians 4. And this is a prayer. Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. And this is set up in a prayer here. But I'm going to read one paragraph of this prayer that blessed me and it kept me on a hunt for truth and a hunt for God and for who is Jesus. And it's this paragraph right here. And there were many other beautiful, but of course I was praying in German. I was a German, but I brought this so everyone can understand. Give us, O Lord Jesus, power according to the abundance of thy grace to be strong in faith, that thy true love may be implanted in our hearts. Help us to grasp the breadth and length, the height and the depth of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to know that to be filled with the love of Christ is better than all knowledge. And as I pray that, I went, wow! There's something out there. How can I get it? It's talked about the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. It's talking about that. And it's talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that comes right out of verse 8 here in Ephesians 3. It says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. As I prayed those prayers, God heard. I was steeped in sin. I knew no way out. But God heard. And He's a merciful God. And as we all know, analogies break down. But I just brought something here to show you a little bit, to just give you a little bit of a glimpse of what was happening in my life. And what needs to happen in all of our lives. And it is happening. I'm not saying it isn't. But just to exhort us this morning to have faith. As I prayed that prayer, I started getting faith. It fit in this little box. It wasn't much. It had a little bit of length, a little bit of width here, a little bit of height. Didn't have much depth, but I had faith. And Jesus started warming my heart with His love. And God was doing something with that faith. The height and the depth, the unsearchable riches. I would like to somehow put us all on a hunt this morning for those unsearchable riches of Christ. As I kept on this warpath for truth, you might say, I shouldn't say warpath, on this path for truth, and being very adamant about some things and still steeped in sin, God kept increasing, that faith kept increasing in God. He kept revealing Himself to me as I prayed, as I kept praying out of the prayer book, beautiful prayers that our Anabaptist forefathers left back. And I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. I'm not saying that I haven't used this prayer book in years, but I think I need to study some of those prayers. There's some depths in there that are unfathomable, that we get really shallow here in American Christianity. But my faith started getting bigger. Started getting bigger. And bigger. And bigger. And then it happened, what we read in Psalm 40, verse 2, verse 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. And He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. An amazing God. And as I, and it happens with all of us, as we by faith are transformed into His image, He does this to us. And then we sing this, and when we sing this in our soul, in our heart, we sing Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. The Lord becomes our everything. But we live in a world that is trying to fashion us. Excuse me here. I'm completely away from my notes here. And oftentimes our zeal that we had for the Lord when we begin walking with Him, it can wax and then it will wane, you know, and it shouldn't be doing that. It should always be doing that. And it's when we put our affection, our zeal on the wrong things. In John 2, verse 17, after Jesus cleansed the temple, they thought of the words that were written in Psalm where it says, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And that's what it needs to, the zeal of the house of God, the kingdom of God needs to eat us up. What is our zeal? What are we zealous for? Is it for the kingdom of God? Is it for our job? Is that what we, like when we're, and maybe I look at this wrong, but when I see a group of men, and I say this because of where I came from, when I see a group of men standing around talking, there's always a quiet one in the bunch. And it's because they're not talking about something that he's interested in, whether it's hunting or fishing, farming, hogs. You know, I had a couple of friends years ago, my brother Jonas and a guy, Noah Swartz. We were really drawn together. What drew us together? Well, there were several things, but one main thing was we all had hogs. That was our way of living, was hogs, and so that drew us together. And we would always get together and talk. So what is our zeal? What draws us together? What do we talk about when we are together? Is it about tractors, trucks, cars, hunting, fishing, playing? You know, what is our zeal? Just ask us this question. Or is it the kingdom of God? Is that what excites us and makes us want to get in the conversation? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in Jude, I'm going to read Jude 20. Jude verse 20 and 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal... No, 20. I'm sorry. I started in the wrong one. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So it talks about building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Are we in tune with our Lord Jesus? And I say that something happened to me Friday, and I hesitate to share it here, but I feel led like I should. I'm not superstitious, very honestly, I'm not. And it might sound like it when I relate what happened Friday, but Thursday night we were at the Bible study in Dayton, and we had a tremendous Bible study, and I was all fed and everything, but then Friday morning I go to work, and there's a little Bible study in the office there at work. Every Friday morning we eat breakfast a little bit, and then we have a little Bible study. And I am so quick to speak, and I say things without thinking. And I said something at the beginning of the Bible study when it was kind of my turn to speak. I said something. I made a quick, flashy remark, and I didn't say the wrong thing, but I said it in the wrong way, and it hurt. It was a scathing remark against the people I work for, and I didn't mean it that way, but I saw that after I made that remark, I actually meant it well, but I made it in the wrong way. It was a scathing remark, and I didn't even realize until the guy right next to me looked at me. He couldn't believe I said that, and I was like, "What did I say wrong?" You know. But as a few minutes more went by, when I had time to speak again, I apologized for the way I said that, and nobody said anything. And the Bible study went on. After the Bible study, I went to work, and I checked the feed bins, and I parked my truck, and I go into the restroom area there to get my boots on, and I heard this ringing, beep beep, beep beep, beep beep, and it went on. Oh, what in the world? I had the door open, so I went outside, and I thought I heard it louder there by my truck. And it was ringing. It was beep beep, and it went on. And I went in the truck, and it got louder. And so I called my wife, and I said, "There's something ringing in the truck, and I can't figure out what it is. Can you hear it?" And I put it on speakerphone. She couldn't hear a thing. I think she told the children to listen if they could hear it, and they couldn't hear it either. And I hung up, and I went like that. I still heard it. I went like that, and it got really loud. I could hear it was coming out of this ear. It was ringing in my ear. Beep, 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 beep. And what would you have done? I'm pretty conscious of God and of... I knew immediately I'd done something I shouldn't have. I knew immediately. And so I went to work. And as I worked, I said, "God, I'm sorry." I knew. Well, first I asked, "What is it? You know, what is it?" And I'd already been, you know, busy. And all at once I thought it was that scathing remark I made. And so I asked God to forgive me for doing that. And several hours went by. It was 10 o'clock, and it was still beep 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 beep. And I couldn't hear it when I was in with the hogs. Everything's noisy. I couldn't hear it. You didn't think about it. You just worked. And I got out of one room, washed my boots, and there it was. Beep, 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 beep. Just kept right on. And at noon, I went in my truck, put my glasses. I can't hardly see the text without my glasses. I can't hardly read text without glasses. I can just kind of make out some of the things. I put my glasses on, and I made a text to all three of the owners there. They were in there that morning. There was four of them, but one of them wasn't there. And I made a long text, and I told him the remark I made. "I'm sorry I made that remark. Please forgive me, and I'm not sure." Anyhow, I went back to work. And I forgot all about it until that night. Friday night, I was laying in bed. I'd already just dozed in, and I fell, and I woke up again, and I happened to think, "I don't have that ringing." And I thought, I never heard it again. You know, I think if I would have repented so God takes that away, He wouldn't have taken it away. But I repented because I was sorry, and He showed me. And so I'm saying that we need such faith that we are always in tune with what's going on in our life and what God talking to us. Do we welcome, where is that verse? Revelation 3:19 says this. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And so that's, I think, faith in action is a constant repentance mode. We're here, and maybe I'm a lot weaker than most of you are, but we're here in the flesh, and we say no to the flesh, and we walk after the Spirit. But so quickly, something comes out of our mouth, and it must still be in our heart. And our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. And we need to be crucifying these things. I'm not sure if I'm making any sense here, but it was, God just became so much more bigger to me. And I didn't pray after I sent that text out. They never replied. And they don't need to. I send it in a way that I don't need any reply. I just wanted them to know I'm sorry. And that I appreciate my job. I even said, even though I get tired of being around hogs all the time, I still appreciate my job. And I do. It wasn't that. It was just, I made this scathing remark that was, I didn't mean it the way it sounded, you know, but we need to be zealous in every area of our life. And you know, when we do something wrong, be zealous and repent. Let me see. Jesus talked about our faith being as a mustard seed. And maybe I look at that wrong, but I look at a mustard seed, and it's one of the tiniest of all seeds, it says there. We read about it in different places. I think it's in Matthew 17 is one of the places. But a mustard seed, in order to become anything, what does it need to do? It needs to die. And by faith, become something big. Faith is without a substance. This is on that home CD that I listened to many, many times. But in there it says, faith without a substance to put your faith on is nothing more than positive thinking. And I grew up with positive thinking. My dad was a positive thinker. And it bugged him for anyone that was not. It was on the negative side. And that kind of was... It was just a part of me too. Positive. But positive thinking without a substance to put it on. And that substance needs to be, our faith needs to be on Jesus Christ. I want to ask this question yet. You know, and it's because of where I come from and who I was and what I believed in so many times. But we hear a lot about knowing Jesus, you know, and it is of utmost importance that we know Jesus. But does Jesus know me? Does he know me? In Matthew 7, there at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, here we go, I wasn't going to turn there, but just get me the beginning of it here. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's not about us knowing him. It is, but do we really know him, or is it something, some other thing than the substance of Jesus Christ? Is it just something that was passed on from our parents, or do we really and truly personally know him? Does he know us? Is our faith, is it an action thing that we are in tune with? When he tells us he is real, even though we can't visibly see him, he is very, very real. And a lot of these things, I'm hoping that it's not necessary to you men and mothers I'm talking to. But the young people are a burden. It's a burden to me that they have the same faith that we do. So, yeah, my thoughts were scattered. I hope someone could get good out of this. God bless you.